70s and 80s, and then ran his own chain of schools for quite a number of years, and now he's our national training director, chief operations officer for the franchise side for Mile High Karate. Obviously does a lot with NAPMA as well. And his training center there in Sterling is really what we're focusing on as the prototype for the Mile High Karate schools. The number we were using earlier was the renewal numbers. And Carol, you went and watched that school for a while. Mm-hmm. What were your impressions? Give everybody some of your impressions. You didn't mention that earlier.
Well, one of the things is that he just brought out a contract where he had just signed up a family for $25,000. He brought in a kid to show what he had learned in the upgrade program. The kid was really so excited and doing a comma form and so forth. And it was all laid out. Certain people came in early and, I don't know, 11 minutes, they did their warm-up. Another class over here was in a different stage, another class. And everything felt not like chaos at all. Felt smooth, and everybody knew where they were supposed to go. And by having a pre-warm-up, for example, you weren't late if you got there when class started. You just missed the pre-warm-up. So it really, you could see how people got into a mindset that's just wonderful. For them to really be committed, really work hard, really stay.
Yeah, and Allie had just done that contract, which was what, $25,000, $8,000 down or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so Carol walked in and Allie was walking out of the office literally, and she had check in hand, contract in hand, wasn't staged for your benefit, but that doesn't hurt that they were having a good night. So anyway, Grandmaster Smith competitively was the number one point fighter in the world for quite a few years and the first world light heavyweight champion. And really, he participated in the first MMA fights back in Hawaii years ago, too, and still have the most watched kickboxing match in history, I think, on the Kareem, with Kareem Allah on the Ali Frazier undercard. But anyways, has been in multi-school operations since 1970. And then Don Southerton, back here, who's a blast from the past, he used to run a big chain of schools up in the Hudson Valley in New York, was a founding member of the board of directors of EFC, along with me and Steve LaValle and a bunch of others. And now has an interesting career. He morphed his experience in Tang Soo Do into going back to school, doing postgraduate work and graduate work in Korean studies, and now works with Hyundai and Kia and major companies like that, teaching Americans how to deal with the Koreans and the Koreans how to deal with the Americans. And now he and I are working on taking U.S. companies into the Pacific Rim and expanding our company, obviously, beyond just Australia and New Zealand, which is in that area of the country, or in that area of the world. So fascinating background. You've got, what now, two master's degree and postgraduate work?
We're always good students. That was never the problem.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you and I were kind of sort of working on a PhD together and both got bored with academics.
He also proved the point that if you can run one business successful, you can run another business successful,
yeah.
Even if it's not exactly the same business.
Exactly. Well, it's all a matter of adding zeros. Yeah. The thing that Don laughs about me is every time he walks in, I say, let's figure out how to add a zero. What I mean by that is at the end, right? Let's make a million, 10 million. Let's figure out how to make, instead of charging $100 a month, let's figure out how to charge $1,000 a month. And then we have Frank Brown. Yes, go ahead.
You know, the client base that I work with are some of the most successful companies in the world today. They happen to be Korean. Why? They market. And when the recession hit, the big three pulled back advertising. They pulled back out of the Oscars, out of the Super Bowl. Big companies went in there, the three companies, and, you know, it's so... So, listen to what this guy is saying, because it's what the most successful international companies are doing today. You know, you can model it. You know, so listen to what he's saying.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And then another blast from past, Frank Brown over here, who for many years was our national training director, working closely with Master Smith. He decided the grass is greener, and we'll convince him the grass is greener in the martial arts again here. So welcome, Master Brown. Good to have you here. He's a 6-degree black belt with the organization, been with us since he was 7, I think. Is that right? And was the least promising student. I think the least promising student we ever brought in. He was only slightly better than I was when I started, which I was I was in braces from the hips down. I could barely walk into the classroom, much less do anything. So, welcome to all you guys from the airport, and Master Smith, who actually in his hometown ended up having to spend the night at the airport and take what, three legs to get here this morning.
Yeah, it took me.
Everybody keeps trying to get sob stories, but the Horgans were on a plane for 28 hours. So, they corrected me. They were only actually on airplanes for 20 hours. It was 28 hours door to door. The good thing is they left on Tuesday and got here on Tuesday, and then they're going to leave here on Sunday and get home on Tuesday. So they gain a day coming and lose a day going.
Well, that's
so,
why I did that 26-hour trip.
To make them feel better?
Well, Sturgis was a 28-hour drive.
I'm not sure staying at the Hilton in Crystal City is the same level of pain.
I did it 3 times already.
Okay, so just so we don't get too far off the track. So let's go back to a couple of main principles here. And the next thing I want to step into here, you know, if you guys don't know, I tend to be a little controversial in the industry. And one of the things that I pissed a lot of people off is we did a cover story in the magazine just before we changed formats, and it was titled Mixed Up Martial Arts, and it had, like, you know, a 12-year-old bleeding in an MMA match and one thing or another. And it was very polarizing. So, you know, all of a sudden I had Junry and YK Kim and people like that. You know, I thought I was the new savior to the industry, and a lot of the MMA guys thought I hated them, which isn't true at all. What I don't like is the direction that the new popularity of that has taken people who are uninformed enough to go in the wrong direction. And here's what I mean, okay? If you're a very good traditional Taekwondo school, you don't have to add a bunch of 24-year-olds with 12 tattoos running around in Speedos to be successful, okay? And what a lot of the industry did is that they decided that they had to take their Taekwondo program and become a no-gi grappling program and miss the boat altogether. The next thing that happened, by the way, the last few years, and it's not just the economy, the industry went from 18,500 schools to 13,000 schools during the height of the new MMA trend. Now, is that perplexing? There's this new martial arts trend that's going out there, and everybody loves MMA, but the number of schools actually fell by one-third. Is that perplexing? Can I tell you what they did? It's a very simple demographic analysis, so this is important to think about. What's been the problem since Barack Obama got elected? And he didn't create it, but what's been the problem the last few years? We're in what they're calling the Great Recession, right? It's the worst recession since the Great Depression, literally, if you look at the numbers, right? Now, the unemployment rate has been pretty high, right? The number they quote is 8-point-something or other, which, by the way, do you guys realize that's a fictitious number? The government years ago, it wasn't the current administration, several administrations before, they changed the way they calculate the number to give it a better feel-good number, right? Because what they stopped doing is they stopped counting long-term unemployed, they stopped counting people who had stopped looking for a job, and they stopped counting people who are underemployed, right? Now, if you get under the skin of that numbers, these are round numbers, so don't hold me to this specifically, but and we're going to try to not over-nerd you too much this weekend, but you know, with my degree in economics and an MBA, I'll go that direction a little bit. Here's what reality is, more or less. If the number is, let's say right now, 8.2%, but if you are a family head of household, 30 to 45, married couple, spouse in that range, bachelor's degree, or master's degree education in a professional career with kids. Anybody want to stab at what the unemployment rate is? 4.1. Approximately. Okay? So if I have a college degree, I'm in a professional position, which describes most of the parents we want to target if we're fishing in the right pond. The unemployment rate is 4.1%, 4.2%, 4.3%. Okay? Obviously, different numbers in different parts of the country. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Houston, Texas, it's really low. And in Florida, most places in Florida, in Fresno, California, you can go through pretty much anywhere in California, it's higher. But generally, that's the number, right? In most of Texas, the unemployment rate, if you fit in that category, is what economists call transitional unemployment. And what transitional means is the only people who are unemployed are the ones that quit here to go find something better, not the ones who are looking for work that can't find it. The next problem with the economy is when you look at this category, and by the way, it's our immigration problem. If you look in this category, is there are an awful lot more companies hiring than can find competent people. So if you look again at the economic statistics, Silicon Valley is starved for people. In Seattle, they're starved for people. In Boston, they're starved for people. At the high end, the unemployment problem is the companies who want good people can't find them. And more, the problem is there's not enough of those good people. By the way, even hiring for yourself. In one hand, it's an employer's market because there's a lot of people looking for work. On the other hand, an awful lot of people who are looking for work, you wouldn't want to give a job, right? So now, on the other end, take the extreme. If you're a high school dropout, less than 25 and black in New York City, the number is 50% unemployment. Okay? And then you transition that with if you're a high school dropout or a high school dropout less than 30, is this number tends to be in the 15 to 20% range. Right? Now, the UFC target market, who's the UFC target market?
18 to
35 white male. The other demographic, by the way, is who's hurt in the economy under 35, men or women? Men. Why? Because women are now more educated and smarter than men, and the wage gap is that young men are making way less than young women. Did you know that, by the way? Is they keep talking about unequal pay for women and men, but all the stats show is two things. One is professional women who take time off to go have kids lose their track in the professional workplace. That's one problem. But the other problem is now the graduation rate from colleges among women is much higher than men. The quality of those graduating from college is much higher than for women than men. Men between 20 and 30 tend to be pretty, you know, they tend to go sit on the couch and play video games, right? I mean, it's a low quality pool. So the demographic has shifted there, too.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying is exactly why we started 360, right? Because
right.
Because of that model, because of women.
Yeah.
Women were more educated, they're now becoming independent. You know, they don't mind raising kids alone. They have enough money
right.
to raise their kids, so they want to prove themselves. So
yeah,
it's great. It's a good market.
Everybody anchor that in, right? Now, the other thing, again, in all of this stuff is, I was going there with MMA, is if suddenly what you had is you had a bunch of people like John Graydon and so forth who always longed for the good old days, and by the way, the good old days never were. When I opened in 83, we went from 0 to 1,500 students in 18 months. They were 90% adults, predominant male, predominantly 35 and under. The problem with that market is they don't pay their bills. They're flaky. It's not the best paying market. And frankly, when it shifted to the kids market, I as a business person, I never had any desire to go back. Those people who aren't running professional schools, why do they want to go back? Well, it gave them fresh meat. They had a sparring partner. Right? They like the athletic feel and look of the classroom, right? We as martial artists, isn't that right? See, I mean, that's not looking at your school as a business. But the MMA trend, what did everybody start doing? Wow, there's a new adult market. We can go after the 20 to 28-year-old. Well, that's the group that's broke right now. Right? Who you don't want is the 20 to 28-year-old male less than a college education, right? Eric will tell you the biggest thing, and correct me if I misspeak, but the biggest thing that we're working on when we look at websites and search engine and pay-per-click is what? Turning the market of people who are responding to 30 and up college educated, not 28 and below high school educated. Is that a fair assessment? Because what? They don't want the guy who wants to be the next Brock Lesnar. They want the attorney or the CPA or the MD who wants a good workout and wants to come in and train, who has the money to pay for it. Does that make sense? So as you look at your market and how you think about your marketing, you'll pick up something that I said a few times, but for the kids market, you're almost 100% concerned about marketing to who?
Moms.
For the men's market, you should be almost 100% concerned with looking for 30 years and up, college-educated, professional, income level, 75,000 and up. Okay? You shouldn't be looking for, I mean, unless you want to build a fight team, but you shouldn't be looking for the 22-year-olds, because they're not the ones that are going to build your school and contribute financially to your school, right? Doesn't matter what's the cross school, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school, Muay Thai school, the young broke ones aren't the ones, right? Now, you guys have a unique situation because they have a lot of young, rich college students, right? So, you know, the girl that I met there when we were there talking to your assistant instructor, you know, I mean, dad's an ambassador or something like that. She's in an accelerated program at American University, and dad's writing the check, and they're only charging her $139 a month. They should be charging her $1,390 a month because dad would write the check, no problem, right? That's different, but that's not the norm. Does that make sense to everybody? So as you start segmenting your market, you've got to look at first, who is it you want? Do you want kids? Do you want adult male? Do you want adult female? And then you've got to be looking at what are you going to teach them? Based upon what's going to appeal to that audience, okay? And the other thing that happened with the MMA trend, and again, it's why I say it goes back to the 60s, it goes back to, you know, what we were doing in Texas and Oklahoma in the 60s, is it went from personal development to what? Being all about physical, right? And if you look at pricing, here's the deal. Personal development, obviously, can get to the point where people perceive it to be priceless. Losing a few pounds and getting in shape, their comparable is $29.97 EFT at 24-hour whatever, right? So the more you're on the, this is just about fitness, you're in the category that they put as cheap, and the more that you're at the high end of personal development, the more you're in the category that they find to be priceless. Does that make sense? And see what the more traditional schools learned in the 70s and 80s is what the new trend of MMA schools never were educated on. If you operate it like a fitness center, you're doing a high volume, low value business. If you operate it like Harvard, you're running a lower volume perhaps, but much higher value per student. And truthfully, there's no reason for it to be lower volume. Does that make sense? So you want to run it like a school, not like it's a health club. Number two is all of your students ultimately want personal development. They don't want just the athletic element. Does that make sense? But the way to think about that from a marketing standpoint is this. Is to a child, you're marketing to the parent. And so for the child, you've got to have the exciting sizzle of the physical stuff, and the parent is hearing about, impressed with and concerned with the personal development aspect. And so the external marketing you do in the community can be about personal development. Does that make sense? To the adult male, the parent part of them is in there, but it's buried real deep, right? So what they want is they want the exciting. They want the physical. They want the high end. They want the sexy. And then once they get in, you can start to educate them about why this is really going to impact their career. It's really going to impact their overall personal development. You can start educating them about the fact that, you know, just doing these drills physically isn't what it's about. I mean, hell, look at the SEALs or Delta team. Look at any other environment. What's West Point about? It's not about the skill set they're learning. It's about the mental fortitude. It's about the character they're developing. Ultimately, what the program is about your mental discipline and focus. It's not about just the physical skills, right? But you can't hook them from the outside to the great unwashed masses. using that as bait, right? The bait is the cool Muay Thai stuff you're doing. It's the cool physical stuff you're doing. Now, you take the female market, and in this type of stuff, the female market is more rational than the male market. I hate to admit it, right? But mostly, the bait is for the adult women is what? Lose 10 pounds, lose 20 pounds, lose 30 pounds, right? So it's mostly about they're concerned about losing weight. Now, once they come in and they start working on that, what can you show them? Well, staying in shape is a lifetime endeavor. Really accomplishing your goals is about mental discipline. It's about goal setting. It's about really controlling yourself more so than it's about just working out. The reason why almost anybody who joins any fitness program or any diet program rebounds worse in 6 months because they have no discipline, right? So now what Sean does is the next level is it's about you're doing high-level personal development. The next level is here's how it's going to relate to your career, and here's how it's going to help in your family, and here's how it's going to help in your external relationships, and here's how it's going to help in your community. Does that make sense? But from a marketing standpoint, it's important to recognize, because what some schools try to do is they try to take the kids' marketing model and attract adult men. Doesn't work. Adult men aren't interested in, like, admitting they don't have confidence. What do they want? They want to learn some cool physical thing. Now, once they come in, learning how to be more confident, focused, and disciplined, and showing them that here's how the SEALs train, and here's how the Delta guys train, showing them all that stuff, that really has sizzle. And it's also how you move them from it's $197 a month to it's $497 a month to it's $1,000 a month. You move them up that pyramid. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so that's important to think about. But the other thing is, a mistake that a lot of us have made is marketing-wise trying to be all things to all people, right? And if you try to be all things to all people in truest terms, you're nothing to no one. You've got to be real clear what you are and what you stand for. You know, on our side, on the franchise, we do character development for kids and families. We essentially do zero advertising for adult males. We do zero advertising for women. We end up in the schools where we have, typically, it's 60% kids, 40% adults, three-quarters of those adults are moms, right? I mean, that ends up being the mix because we're really good at adding family members on. But that's what we're focused on, right? When you start going into multiple markets, you've got to be very careful about the imaging. And part of the mistake that I see people make is have the same website for the adult men MMA, the women's fitness program, and the kids program, and now the messages get too mixed. Does that make sense? So one of the things we do in most cases, like online, is the pay-per-click ad takes them just to the page about the kids program, takes them through a sequence to opt them in and create a lead for just the kids program, brings them into a time when that's all they're going to see and doesn't confuse the issue, right? So you don't, and in all the cases, you want to do that. So I've seen like the premier schools, and there's a lot of good things, but what I don't like is all of their ads show what? Adult male in boxing gloves, adult female looking really sexy, doing, you know, cardio type of thing, and then cute kids doing like bo staff. Well, it's three completely different markets. And having these other two things on the kids' ad turns off the parents. Having these other two things on the adult male ad turns off the guy. Having this for the woman's ad turns off the woman. Does that make sense? So, and the only possible exception to that is having the sexy girl on there helps with the guys because they pay attention, right? No, seriously, I mean, statistically, that's true also. You know, for the adult male market, it doesn't matter what age, you know, put a woman in a bikini and have any justification for it, and it's useful in most cases. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, go look, you know. I mean, the next thing that both the Romney and the Obama campaign are going to have is some excuse. You know, they're going to be at the fitness contest or something. Although that's not really true. Mostly they're fighting over the women's vote, so that can backfire. And by the way, I want you to write this down. I emailed it out to a lot of you guys. The best opportunity right now you can have to get a real education in direct mail, and it's the most expensive consultants in the world. Both campaigns are going to spend around $1 billion in 90 days, is to go give money to the Obama campaign, go give money to the Romney campaign. Seriously, just go to BarackObama.com and MittRomney.com and go give them $25 or $50, right? Because you'll now get an avalanche of direct mail and other follow-up from them, okay? And, you know, if there's one of them that you want to win and one of them you don't want to win, hold your nose and give the other side a little bit of money. But if you do that, you'll get on their list. And guess what? If you're in a state like Colorado, you're going to be bombarded anyway on TV and so forth. But the real secret behind a lot of those campaigns, certainly fundraising, is direct mail, right? I mean, in the last week and a half, I've got probably 7 mailers from the Romney campaign alone, right, stacked on my desk. Because I'm doing it to pay attention to what they're doing, right? Because they've got, like, the most expensive copywriters in the world, the most expensive marketing consultants. They've done more efforts to segment and target. I mean, keep in mind, I mean, they're not targeting people in Colorado. They have niche after niche after niche after niche that they're talking to individually and specifically, right? And so, and by the way, in neither campaign is trying to win the United States right now. They're trying to win Colorado, Ohio. They're trying to win the strip in Orlando that runs down the middle, because that's they really only have, what, 7 targets in the whole damn country? And so they're spending all their time. I mean, every one of the 4 have been in Colorado at least 3 or 4 times in the last 2 weeks, because it's one of the few swing states, right? Who else is in a swing state? Have you noticed that? I mean, I never watch commercial TV, I TiVo or everything, but I mean, pretty much if you do, you can't turn on the TV without having ads. I mean, throughout the Super Bowl, you know, which were expensive ads, you know, it kind of alternated between Obama ads and Romney ads. And most of that stuff, by the way, is purchased on a market-by-market basis, not on a national campaign, right? Because Romney is never going to, doesn't need to do anything at all in New York. He can't do a damn thing in New York. He's not going to win New York. He's not going to do anything in San Francisco or L.A. other than try to raise money. But he'll be in Colorado a lot, right? Obama, if he's in Texas, is just to entertain himself, because there's no way in hell he'll ever win Texas. But, I mean, so you go through the country, and really they're only fighting for a sliver of the entire country. But that's the best direct mail education you could get right now in the next 90 days, is to go give them both $25. You'll get $1 million education. Because, again, they are very good. Both sides, by the way, not one or the other. Both sides are very good at that. And by the way, get on their email list and get on the Facebook page and go on all that stuff. And last time, the biggest difference between the Obama campaign and the McCain campaign is that the Obama campaign owned social media and online. The McCain campaign was horrible. The Obama campaign set new standards for that. I mean, they hired guys from Facebook and from those companies to develop the whole thing behind. Spent millions of dollars on that. So pay attention to that. Any questions on any of this stuff so far? No? Let's take a 10-minute break.
Do you have any idea? It's a touch screen. I touched something, and all my notes from this morning disappeared and became my impact.
Do you want me to try?
Sure.